Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yuma Pei Zion. Apologize, we fell behind. We are going to get rolling between today and tomorrow, catch up. We need to. The Masechta finishes tomorrow, so we're done. With sincere appreciation to the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. The daf is being learned, Lezecher Lois Altman Lupin. We are in Pei Vav, and we're not even that far into Pei Vav. And Tshuva has been the topic for the past couple of days. We started with the Mishnah yesterday and Pei Hei Amud Beis. And we're continuing Pei Vav, Pei Zayin, Pei Ches for the balance of the Masechta. We talk about the Mitzvah of Tshuva. The Mitzvah of Tshuva comes up on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Zman Tahara. It's a time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides a full Tahara for the Jewish people. And so it's only appropriate, it's the most efficacious time in order that we do Tshuva, that we repent to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as a result of that, so the Gemara speak at length, you can see the size of the Dapim of yesterday, today. Gemara speaks at length about the importance of Tshuva, the significance of Tshuva, and a little bit in terms of the Lamaisa, in terms of the practical, how do you actually do Tshuva. So a couple of fundamental points that we touched on. Yesterday we saw the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about vehicles of Kapara. What are the things that are going to actually provide a Kapara? So the Mishnah told us that under certain circumstances, you bring a carbon provides a Kapara. So like we discussed yesterday, if a person violates Isurei Kares, not just a lav, but a lav that has a Kares with it, we mentioned yesterday there are 34 of them in the Torah, two assays, two positive commandments, but 34 lavim in the Torah where one is going to be required to bring a carbon chatas if done so b'shogeg. So the Mishnah mentions that. Chatas avli serves as a kapara asham, also provides a kapara asham. There are five isurim in the Torah where if you violate them, you have to bring a carbon asham. The Gemara noted yesterday that the Mishnah did not mention asham talui, notably absent from the Mishnah as the topic of asham talui. Yom Kippur serves as a substitute for asham talui, possibly even if you knew about it beforehand. And then the Mishnah went on to describe Tshuva in general. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to start right from the Gemara where we left off yesterday, and we'll go on to discuss other aspects of the Mishnah through the context of the Gemara Pei Vav Amud Aleph. We're towards the top of the Amud, and we finished up by explaining discrepancies. In other words, the Torah says, we're on the very top of Pei Vav Amud Aleph, the Torah says, Nake lo yinake. Kadosh Baruch Hu Nake, he cleanses, and lo yinake, he doesn't cleanse. So the Gemara says, that's difficult to understand. You want to pick a side? It's hard to be on both of those sides. So the Gemara says, Tamalomer lo yinake, yachol af shar chai ve'lavin kein, Tamalomer, shmohu deinu menake, v'menake shar chai ve'lavin. Okay, I'm sorry. Tanahi, we did this already yesterday, I apologize. Right, there was a discussion yesterday, just one other summary point from yesterday, and then we'll move on. Right. Yeah, I'm sorry, we did all this yesterday. I'm sorry. The one other summary point, and that is the following. We had in the Mishnah two categories. We had Averus Kalos and Averus Chamuros. So Averus Kalos, the quote-unquote, the lighter sense, and the Averus Chamuros in the more serious sense. So Averus Kalos, so that you could just simply do tshuva and be done with it, and move on. And Averus Chamuros, so there you need a combination punch. You need tshuva and Yom Kippur, tshuva and Misa. Okay, so you need more for Averus Chamuros. So what's an Aver Kala? So an Asay for sure is an Aver Kala, vis-a-vis tshuva. And then a Los Asay, right? That's and when you look back at the Mishnah, you read the Mishnah, that's really the simple reading of the Mishnah, is that a Los Asay is also considered an Aver Kala. The Gemara noted yesterday, not everyone's in agreement with that. The Gemara quoted Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said in the bottom of Pei Hei Amud Beis, no, a lav is not considered an avera kal. A lav is an avera chamor. What about the Mishnah? The Mishnah, when it says a lav, it means a lav anitak la'aseh. Really, it's really another form of an aseh, but it's not a lav because a bona fide lav is not an avera kal, but rather it's an avera chamora. Okay, that was the opinion of Rav Yehuda. And the Gemara noted yesterday. I'm sorry, we did this already yesterday. And the Gemara noted yesterday. That's also subject to machlokas tanaim. Whether or not a lav falls under the category of an avera kala, where you just do tshuva and that'll be it, or it's an avera chamura and you need tshuva plus. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara now. Sorry. Okay. So let's start over here. All right. Detanya, we learned in a braisa. Okay. Kind of in the middle of a sentence, but okay. Pei Vav Amud Aleph, about 50 lines from the top of the Amud. So, v'nakei menalan. D'tanya, Rabbi Lazar, Amar Yevshel Amar Nakei Shekvar Nemar Lo Yinakei. V'yevshel Amar Lo Yinakei Shekvar Nemar Nakei. So, on one hand, okay, now the Gemara is dealing with the discrepancy in the Pesukim, the Yud Gimel Midos, and the Yud Gimel Midos. In the Yud Gimel of the of the 13 Yugimol Midos Sharachamim. So it ends off by saying Nakei Lo Yinakei. So which one is it? Haketsa Menakei Ulushavim Beinam Manakei LeSheEinah Shavim. So the Gemara gives a very simple resolution. Depends whether or not you did tshuva, you didn't do tshuva. Shavra Masa Ben Charis Shas Rav Loz Ben Azariah Beram Shamar Arba Chaluki Kapar Shahia Rabbi Shmuel Doresh Doresh. Did you hear about four divisions of tshuva? So Amar Shloshahein. So he says no, not four, three divisions of tshuva. V'tshuva im kol echa ve'echad. In other words, you may have misunderstood. He did say the word tshuva, but tshuva comes with the three categories. But it's really categorically three. Avral asif v'shavein zaz misham hashem ochel moshenem v'tshuva banim shavivim. Okay, so if a person violates an asay, and he's non-compliant with the positive commandments in the Torah, so he does tshuva lo zaz misham, and you don't move from there, and you get a, and you get Kadosh Baruch Hu answers you right away. Okay, category number one. Avar lo sasei vasa tshuva shuva tolav yom kippur mechaper. Now let's say you violated lo sasei. So this is an agreement with the position that we saw, we just went over, that a lo sasei is considered a chamura, it's not considered a kala, and therefore for lo sasei it has to be tshuva plus. In this case it's tshuva plus yom kippur. So let's say a person violates a lo sasei and he does tshuva, tshuva tolav yom kippur mechaper. So tshuva will be tolav and yom kippur will provide the kippur. Shenemar, kivi yom hazeh yechaper alechem mechol chatosechem. Avar al krisus umisus beizdin v'asa tshuva. So now let's say a person violates krisus umisus beizdin. So now we are at stage number three, and we are now much more serious. In other words, it's not just a lav, but it's a kares bearing lav. So now what? According to Rabbi Shmuel, so asa tshuva tshuva yom kippur I'm tolin. So now you need tshuva and you need yom kippur v'yisur memerakin, and you also need suffering. So you get nega tsaras, but tsaras over here in the context of you have to suffer. Okay, so those are the three categories. So three categories of a person being able to do tshuva is, to use the terminology in our Mishnah, kalos, which is a violation of asay, chamuros, a los asay, and the third category is the category of karis, a lav sheish bo karis. So, and again, the asay, do tshuva, you're good. I mean, again, it's not that simple, but just to provide the basic structure, the outline, you do tshuva, you're good. A lav is considered more chamer, so you need tshuva and you need yom kippur. And then for a lav, sheyesh bo kares, you need tshuva, yom kippur, and you need yisurim as well. The Gemara says, but what about chilul Hashem? Aval mi sheyesh lo chilul Hashem biyado, ein lo koach b'tshuva litlos, v'lo b'yom ha-kippur l'chaper, v'lo b'yisurim l'marek. So when it comes to Chil Hashem, if we desecrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, so there, tshuva, not tshuva, not Yom Kippur, not Yisurim, Ela Kulan Tolan Umisa Memareka. So there, tshuva is just simply going to be ineffective, and the only thing that provides any form of atonement is going to be Misa, it's going to be death. Shenemar v'nigla b'aznei Hashem tzvakosi michupar avon hazeh lachem ad tumusun. Heichidam Chil Hashem. So fine, so now we have, and this is categorically, by the way, it sounds clearly from the Gemara. Meaning the Gemara says that there are three categories together with tshuva, and then there's a fourth category, but it's not really a fourth category, it's just so heinous, it's so bad, that really tshuva won't even help, and that's Chilul Hashem. So now let's try to give ourselves a good working definition of Chilul Hashem. We know what asay is, we know what los asay is, we know what los asay sheish bo kares. So we know what all those are, what is considered, what's considered Chilul Hashem. So heichidam Chilul Hashem, amar Rav kegonana, ishakin abasu mitavcha v'lo yavin adam el altar. So Rav says, I'll give you a simple example. I go shopping in the market, I go to the butcher, I buy meat, I don't pay right away. But I delay the payment. So that would be an example of Chil Hashem. Now, Rav says, Kagon Ana, right, if you read the Gemara carefully, meaning he's not giving an objective definition of Chil Hashem, he's giving a subjective definition of Chil Hashem, meaning depending on where you are in life. So Rav says, once I delay payment, and it caused any type of anxiety or grief to the butcher, and people see that I'm not paying right away, so that already creates a Chil Hashem. So I'm Rabbi Loshanu Labasur Dolo Tabai Vabasur Titabai Leslamba. Now the Abaye modifies the statement of Rav. Yes, it's going to be a Chil Hashem, but it really depends on the minhag of the community. Some communities, some butchers are expecting the money without asking, and some have a collection agency. So if you live in a community where there's a collection agency, so you know, I don't pay right away because I know they're going to come collect. All right, I go see the doctor, right? Or I'll bring it much more home for me. I go see the orthodontist. Oh, he loves me. So I He really loves me. So I go see the orthodontist. So I know. In other words, he has collections, and I know he's gonna send me letters and more letters, and you know, and okay. But in other words, but that's understood, and we pay, and we in other words, but it's understood that that's the policy. So there, I walk in, I walk out of the office. In other words, there's no Chil Hashem because it's understood that that's how it works. But if the understanding is that you go in and you're supposed to pay, if that's the understanding, so then by not paying, that creates a Chil Hashem. And Ravina says, and by the way, in the city of Mas Mechasya, often quoted city, an affluent city, so Asa Didibai. So there they have collection agencies, and so therefore you walk into a store, you walk out, you don't pay, that's okay. That's not a Chilul Hashem. Abai wanted to avoid Chilul Hashem at all costs. Abai would go and he would buy something from partners. Now, there's always going to be, when there's a partnership, there's going to be communication, there's going to always be miscommunication. So what's ultimately going to happen is that you'll pay one, the other one thinks to himself, oh, well, he's such a stiff. He didn't pay. And there'll be that moment of miscommunication and possibly Chil Hashem. So Abai says, you know what, I'll pay both partners. Now, of course, that means that when he's buying something, he's paying twice for an item. So the Gemara says, V'hadu mekarav lehu gabi hadad v'avid chushbana. We'll worry about the cheshbon later. Meaning, they'll realize that I overpaid, and I'll get reimbursed. But I don't want to create any moment in time where I walk out of the store and I bought something, and somebody thinks, one of the partners thinks I didn't pay. So I don't want to create that Chil Hashem. Rav Yochanan Amar Kegona No. So Rav Yochanan says, I'll give an example of what Chil Hashem would be for me. This is Rav Yochanan now giving a personal definition of what Chil Hashem would be. Dimesagin Arba Amos below Torah below Tefillin. I walk 4 amos and I don't have Torah in my mouth and I'm not wearing tefillin, that would be a definition of Chil Hashem for me. Yitzchak de Beiravian Amar Kol Shechaveres Mesbaishmach Mashmuaso. Your friends are embarrassed about what you said. That would be another definition of Chil Hashem. Amar Avnach Meyitzchak Kagon Deka Amri Inshi Sharele Marya Lapanaya. Right, when other people say, please excuse his behavior, right, I apologize on his behalf. That's Chil Hashem. Abayim Raki Detanya Vavta Sashem Lakecha She Shem Shemayim Mitaev Al Yadcha She Kor Vishon Meshama Shemayim Lechachamim. So you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name to be loved through you. That's the opposite of Chil Hashem. We'll call it Kiddush Hashem. So the Gemara gives an example, or the Gemara spells it out. You read Chumash, you learn Mishnah, you're Mishamish Talmid HaChamim, V'yei Maso Maso Benachas, and you deal with everyone pleasantly. Imabrios, Ma'abrios, Omros Alav, Ashrei Aviv, Shalim Do Torah, Ashrei Rabbo, Shalim Do Torah. So people say, good, look at him. Not only does he learn Torah, but he behaves wonderfully. And people will say, oh, it's because of his Torah. And they'll give attribution to the father who taught him Torah, the Rebbe who taught him Torah, or Elam Labir, Sholim Do Torah. And woe to the people who don't learn Torah, because you see that people who learn Torah, this is how they behave. So that's a Kiddush Hashem. That's good. Ploni shalom do Torah, kama na'im derachav, kama mesukanim asav alav akasav omer, vayom ali avdi, atay Yisrael asher becha espa'er. I will be glorified through you. So that's the person who's learning Torah, behaves properly, conducts himself properly, so he creates a Kiddush Hashem. But let's now go in the other direction. Let's say you have a person, same starting point. So he's learning Torah, reads Chumash, learns Mishnah, Mishamish Tamid Chachamim, but doesn't deal with people honestly. The Ein Dibur Benachas doesn't speak pleasantly. Imabrios. Ma'abrios Amros Alav, Oilo Laploni, Shalim Torah, Oilo Lavishal Limda Torah. And so the conclusion will be of the masses. Look at this. His father taught him Torah, his Rebbe taught him Torah, Oilo the Rabbi Shalom de Torah, Ploni Shalom de Torah, Kama Mukukalam Asav. Woe to the father who taught him Torah, woe to this person whose action is such, the Kama Michu Arim Derachav. And a very disgusting man. Such a shame that this is what results. This is what the land produces. So again, it's the same starting point for both. And the difference between Kiddush Hashem versus Chil Hashem is the behavior of the individual. Because when a person's learning Torah and he behaves well, it reflects well in the Torah, and ultimately it will be V'haftas Hashem. It will create Avas Hashem. The converse is that if you learn Torah and you behave unpleasantly, so that's a Chil Hashem. Amar Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chinah Gedola Tshuva Shemevi Arifu La'olam. The Gemara now speaks in terms of the significance of tshuva, what it accomplishes. So the Gemara says it brings healing to the world. Shenemar erpa mishuvasam olavam nidavam. Kadosh Baruch Hu provides refuah if we do tshuva. Rabbi Chama brechin and Rami ksiv tshuva banim shovavim dimikar shovavim atem. So on one hand, the pasuk says tshuva banim shovavim. If you're wandering, you'll do tshuva. But it sounds like the mikarim shovavim atem, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu kind of like writes it off. Meaning, why did we need to do tshuva? Shovavim because you were wandering, you were immature. It's like almost like a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, like I get it, like I understand. It was immaturity. Uksiv erpa mishuvasam. But on the other hand, erpa mishuvasam. The way Rashi understands this, erpa mishuvasam, meaning I'm going to provide you a refuah, but you're always going to walk around with a scar. Meaning it's not going to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu just writes it off. No, it will be you sinned, you did tshuva, the tshuva is accepted, but a refuah. In other words, you have a limp, you have a scar. Okay, so it's a discrepancy. So does a Kadosh Baruch Hu write it off, or do we walk around with scars? Lokasha kami ava kami yira. The Gemara gives the distinction that we saw already previously, and that is depends. Depends on the nature of the tshuva. If it's tshuva damiava versus tshuva miyira. So if it's tshuva miyava, Rashi says, Hashem miyava nekar avono mitchilaso. That's it. Your sin is totally uprooted. Kadosh Baruch Hu writes it off. Yira. In other words, we do tshuva, but because we're afraid of the onesh. So okay, tshuva is still accepted, but it's not written off. Rav Yehuda Ramik Siv Shuvah Banim Shuvah Erpa Mishuvah Seh Muksiv Anochi Baalti Bachem Lakati Etchem Echad Meir Vishanim Mimishpacha. I'm sorry, Vishnaim Mimishpacha. So on one hand, it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants us the tshuva. On the other hand, grants us the tshuva and treats us like a father. HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to us as Banim. On the other hand, the other pasuk indicates Baalti Bachem, I'm your master. Meaning kind of like the relationship between a master and a slave. So on one hand, when we do tshuva, we're like sons. On the other hand, when we do tshuva, we're like slaves. Both of them are show a relationship, but obviously the son is a stronger relationship. Lokasha kamiyava kamiyira. So the Gemara again goes back to the same distinction. If we do tshuva, I'm sorry, I take it back. No. Lokasha kamiyava omiyira kana yide yisurin. Sorry. The difference over here is intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation. If we're intrinsically motivated to do tshuva, right? We come to the realization that either because of the love we have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu or because of the fear we have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, either way, but we're intrinsically motivated, whatever the motivation may be, so then banim. Then we're like sons to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But ayudei yisurim, we're suffering and we would like the suffering to please stop. And we do tshuva just because we want the suffering to stop. So once again, there will be a Kabbalah has tshuva. The tshuva will be accepted, but not to the same degree. We'll be more like avadim. Amar Rabbi Levi Gedola, tshuva shemaras at kisei hakavod. Tshuva so great, it approaches the kisei hakavod. Reaches there. Shenemar tshuva yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we're on the top of Pei Vav Amud Beis. Gedola tshuva shedoches lo sa'aseh shebetorah. Tshuva is great. It is going to push off a lo sa'aseh shebetorah. Shenemar lemor, hein shlach ish es ishto v'halcha meitov ha'isa li'isha acher, ha'yishov eila ha'od, ha'lo chanuf techanef ha'aretz ahi, v'ad zanita re'im rabim v'shuv alay nom Hashem. What happens when you're married, divorce, marry another woman, and divorce the second woman. Can you go back to the first woman? So the answer is unequivocally no. Torah says that that's a lot. The Torah actually describes it in very heinous terms. The Torah speaks harshly about such behavior. Meaning, aside from it being a law, the Torah describes it as being a toeva. It's something which is an abomination. And the basic explanation why that is because basically you're going. It's almost like legalized adultery. Meaning, you're going from one wife to another woman back to your wife. It's
If the woman remarries.
The woman remarries. That's an excellent correction. You're right. So if the woman remarries, so basically it's legalized adultery. So the Gemara says toeva. It's just an abomination. So the Gemara says, but tshuva's not that way. In other words, what happens in the world of tshuva? Basically the same thing. Meaning we went to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we went to another god. We want to go back to Kadosh Baruch Hu now. And how does that work? Meaning the Torah wouldn't allow that behavior regarding husband and wife. And meanwhile, tshuva allows it. That's exactly what Rav Yochanan is trying to articulate. Gedola tshuva shedoches lo sase shebetorah. Okay, not literally, but conceptually. Amar Rav Yonasan. Okay, we're in Pei Vav Amud Beis. We're about 5 lines on the top of the Amud. Amar Rav Yonasan, gedola tshuva shemekarevis es ha-geula, brings the geula that much closer, shenemar, uval tzion goel, shavei pesha b'yakob. Ma'atam uval tzion goel, how come the goel comes? Yishum deshavei pesha b'yakob, because we do tshuva. Amar Yishal kish gedola tshuva shiz donos nasa lo kishkagos. Moreover, the zdonos, the deliberate intentional sins convert into shkagos, into unintentional. Meaning, the act is going to be the same act, but what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does through our tshuva is he changes the intent. Turns it from intentional to unintentional. Shenem Rashuva Yisrael Hashem Elokecha ki kishalta ba'avonech. You stumbled. Meaning, even at the time you meant it, but what the tshuva does is it basically changes intent. Ha'avon meziru v'kakari le'michshol. So in other words, the words don't agree with one another. Avon sounds like you did it intentionally. Michshol means you stumbled. So that's what it does. Tshuva is able to convert a zadon to a shkaga. I don't think so. I don't know. I'll start there, but I don't think so. Ini v'amar eish lakish gedola tshuva shiz donos nasa lo kizichuyos. Shenamar. Now the Gemara says, now that statement of Rav Yonasan is powerful, but the statement of Reish Lakish is even more powerful. Reish Lakish says that tshuva actually converts a zadon into a zichuyah. That's turning a negative into a positive, right? Rav Yonasan turned a negative into a neutral. Shkaga, right? I did it, but with no intent. Here we're going in the opposite direction. So this is the alchemy of tshuva. So the Gemara says Reish Lakish gedol tshuva shedzonos nasalus kuzichuyah shenemar uvishuv rasham irishasova asa mishparut staka aleihem. Yichya. So the Gemara says, Lokasha kami ava kami yira. Okay, I should have counted the number of times the Gemara goes to this distinction. Although we'll take out the last time, but the distinction the Gemara draws again is the difference between doing tshuva out of ava versus doing tshuva out of yira. Doing tshuva out of ava, your love for Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you want to return to Kadosh Baruch Hu because of the powerful love between you and Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a converter, meaning that will ava will take a chait that once upon a time was a chait and turn into a zechuya. But if you do mi'ira, so once again, it's good, obviously, but it doesn't have the same kind of effect. It'll take a mazid and turn it into a shogi, but that's all it's going to do. Am Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, Am Rav Yonasan, Gedola Tshuva Shemarech Shnosav Shal Adam, prolongs your years. Shenamar Uvishuv Rasham Rishaso Yichya. The Navi describes how you get to live longer. I'm Rav Yitzchak Amri Bar Marav and Mishmei Darava Bar Marav Bar Reish Lo Kibidas Kadosh Baruch Hu Kemidas Basar V'Dam. Kadosh Baruch Hu and human beings don't operate the same way. Midas Basar V'Dam Matnis Chaveru B'Dvarim. So let's say you get into an argument with a friend. It happens. Suffik Mispayis Amenu Suffik Ein Mispayis Amenu. Now try the appeasement portion of the relationship. Right, go over to see him and see whether or not you can go and apologize, and I'm really sorry, and I know I hurt you, and right, see if that works. Sometimes it doesn't. The Gemara notes, sometimes it doesn't. We're human. Now, in terms of how you're going to be mispais, well, sometimes words will be enough, a simple apology, I'm sorry, and then sometimes it's not, words are just simply not going to be enough. Aval Kadosh Baruch Hu Adam Over, Aver B'Seiser, but when it comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so a person violates an avera and he does so privately, mispayes mimenu bidvarim. So a little bit of lip service and we're good. Now I know it sounds like I'm doing this today. I'm simplifying the whole process of tshuva. It's not that simple. Time permits. Please take a look at the Rambam. Read the first two parakim of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, where he outlines the process of tshuva. But the Gemara is just contrasting how a Kadosh Baruch Hu is accepting of our tshuva much easier than another human being would. Another human being may or may not. Again, human beings, complicated. Kadosh Baruch Hu, so we're sincere and we apologize and we provide lip service, but not lip service. That's obviously, I don't mean that in the normal in the normal parlance. I mean that as all we need to do is just say the right words with intent, with meaning, and that'll be enough. Shenemar k'chuyim achem dvarim v'shuva l'Hashem. Pasuk in Hosea, we're going to quote this pasuk a couple of times over the course of today. The last parak of Hosea, k'chuyim achem dvarim, take words, v'shuv al Hashem. And you do tshuva, and it's that simple. V'lo ha'orel shemachzik lo tova. And furthermore, based on the Pesukim in Hosea, it's not only that you do tshuva, but Kadosh Baruch Hu is machzik lo tova. You get a pat on the back. Meaning when you apologize to somebody else, he doesn't give you a pat on the back. He's like, okay, fine. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you machzik lo tova, shenemer v'kach tov. V'lo ha'od el shemala la'kasuf kilu ikrim parim. It's as if we offered a carbon. That's how powerful tshuva is, and that is how willing and ready Kadosh Baruch Hu is ready to accept the tshuva. We do tshuva, we get a pat on the back. It's ki'il, we brought a carbon. V'neshama parim sifasenu, shemer toma perichova. Now, okay, fine, we brought a carbon, but an obligatory carbon. No, better. Tamalama reper meshuva sam o'avam nidava. Stronger than obligatory carbon. Obligatory carbon, we're fine, we're obligated. No. Kadosh Baruch Hu views it as if we brought a voluntary carbon. Tanya hayu Rabbi Meir Omer Gedola tshuva shebishvil yachish asa tshuva mochlen chol ha'olam kulo. Okay, the one person's tshuva can provide a mechila for the entire world. Shenemar aprem tshuva samo avam nedava ki shav api mimenu. There's not an agreement in terms of the rabbim and yachid in this pasuk. It says, I will forgive them ki shav api mimenu, because he did tshuva. Now mehem lo na'amar la mimenu, he did tshuva. So in other words, it's clear that forgiveness can be given for the tshuva of one person. Don't ask me the specifics of how this works or why this should work. A lot of tshuva goes above and beyond the state of logic. And okay, that's again, the Gemara speaks to the power of tshuva. Hey, chidami bal tshuva. So what is an example of bal tshuva? The Rambam made this famous. So what's the example of bal tshuva? Amar Rav Yehuda kagosha bal liado davar avera. Parmishon v'shniya v'nitzal heimenu. A person arrives at the same situation and he saves himself from that situation. Machver Rav Yehuda bosa isha bosa perik bosa makom. And Rav Yehuda demonstrates and he shows and he says, same woman, same time, same place. And the Rambam, right, Rambam, you'll forgive me, I don't have a Rambam in front of me right now. The Rambam articulates this even further. And the Rambam says, it's not 30 years later, 40 years later, you don't have as much strength, you don't have much desire. No, but the Rambam describes it as tshuva gemura, right? As a complete tshuva, where given the opportunity again, so you demur and you resist and you fight your temptation. Am Rav Yehuda, Rav Rami, Ksiv, Ashrei Nasui, Pesha, Kisui, Cheta. There will be discrepancy in the Pesukim between Tehillim and Mishlei versus whether or not it is prudent to publicize your sins or it's not prudent. So we start with a Pesuk in Tehillim. Ashrei Nasui, Pesha, Kisui, Cheta. Don't publicize it. In other words, not cover up. That's not the right word, but just simply, right, and keep it a secret. Don't. No need to let others know. Uksiv mechase peshav lo yatzliach. On the other hand, the Pasuk of Mishlei gives us the exact opposite advice. It says that if you cover your sins, it's not going to be successful. Broadcast your sins. Tell others about your sins. Okay. So obviously we have a basic discrepancy in terms of whether or not you should let others know what you've done. Lo kasha habechei mefursam habechei she'eino mefursam. The Gemara is going to give two resolutions to the discrepancy. So the first resolution is whether or not your sin has already been publicized. Rashi, chet mefursam tov lo shiyodeh v'izbayesh v'lo yichpor bo. So there, better that you should tell others, be embarrassed, and don't cover it up. The word yichpor, right, like we just saw in last week's parsha, right, the kaporis. The kaporis is a cover for the aron. And don't cover it up. That's a chet mefursam. But a chet she'ena mefursam, Rashi, next Rashi, lo yigalechato. The kavod Hashem hu shekol ma she'adam chote b'faresya miud kavod shamayim hu. Meaning, if people don't know about it, so then what are you going to do? You're going to let other people know what you did and just create chilul Hashem. So don't do it. So that's the first distinction of the Gemara, the first resolution of the Gemara between the pasuk in Tehillim versus the pasuk in Mishlei. So we'll get to that. In other words, we'll talk about the processing Yom Kippur. Right now, the Gemara is speaking more generally about tshuva, and then later, right, more tomorrow, to be honest, right. I usually feel like we're going to catch up, and we don't. And so, a little self-awareness on my part right now. But tomorrow we'll discuss Tshuva on Yom Kippur. Mar Zusha Bar Tuvia Amar Rav Nachman Kam Ba'Aver Shebein Am L'Chaver Kam Ba'Aver Shebein Abam L'Makom. This resolution, the second one, is the one that the Rambam quotes. And that is, it depends on the nature of the chait. The chait between you and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're not mefarsem. The chait between you and another person, you are mefarsem. Why should that be? So there's one short Rashi on this. Rashi writes, Aver shebein adam lechaver yigala l'rabim. Shivak shumimenu shim cholo. What you want to do is you want to tell other people, so they'll help you in terms of getting his support and getting his favor. We know that, we'll see in just a moment, that a sin between you and a friend, you need his reconciliation. Tshuva by itself will not work. So therefore, it's the vechet bein adam lechavero. So the second resolution of the Gemara is, so you should broadcast it. Because you want others to know how you wrong somebody, and maybe that will help in terms of making a reconciliation. Tanya Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudam, Adam, or Vera, Pam, Rishonim, Mochum, Lo. Shnia, Mochum, Lo. A person does a sin once, receives Mechila. Again, it's not automatic. It means, with tshuva, receives Mechila. Does it a second time, receives Mechila. But Shlish is Mochum, Lo. Sorry, I was getting ready for the big reveal, not yet. A third time also. Okay, and so it's not three strikes, you're out. But rather, Revi'ith, Mochum, Lo. It's a fourth strike. Okay. Okay, fine. Kadosh Baruch Hu is easier than baseball. So Revi is the Emoch and Lo. So no, it's four strikes. Shenemar Karma Hashem Al Shosha Pishay Yisrael Ve'al Arba Lo Hashivenu Ve'omer. Gemara quotes two psukim to support this idea. Hein Kol Eila Yifal El Pa'amim, I'm sorry, El Pa'amim V'Shalosh. You could do a sin twice, you could do it even three times. Okay. In other words, you'll get a pass. But not a fourth time. So Im Gavar. Apologize. That's the end of the pasuk. Maiva Omer, two psukim to make the same point. One pasuk in Amos, another pasuk in Eov. Both psukim indicate that a sin done once, twice, even a third time, a Kadosh Baruch Hu will provide mechila. I'm assuming that you do the proper method of tshuva. But once you do it a fourth time, that's it. You are now considered a repeat offender, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu will not look at your tshuva because, quite frankly, how could you possibly be sincere in your tshuva when you are now a fourth-time repeat offender? The Gemara just wants to know, why two psukim to make the same point? Because the pasuk in Amos sounds like it's talking about Klal Yisrael, meaning as a tzibra, as a community. But individually are the same rules? That's the second pasuk. Yes. Tashma hein kol ha'ela yifal pa'amayim shaloshim gavar. Okay, skip the parentheses, ten rabbanan. Aver she'izvad alem yom kippurim zelo izvad alem yom kippurim acher. Oh, we do get up to tshuva on Yom Kippur. Okay. So let's say, over the course of the year, so I did a chait. Comes Yom Kippur, I say vidui. I confess, I do tshuva, and I do tshuva. Meaning I literally leave my ways and I'm totally rehabilitated. Okay, good. Now we get to the next Yom Kippur. And the whole year, that particular chait, I'm good. I totally rehab from that chait. So now the next Yom Kippur. Do I mention it again? So intuitively, I think if I would have asked, I think the answer would have been no. It's over. You're good. You're rehabbed. So that is the opinion of the Tanakhama of the Braisa. Aver she'izvad alem Yom Kippurim, ze lo izvad alem Yom Kippurim acher, v'im shana behem tzarech li'izvados, Yom Kippurim acher. V'im lo shana behem v'chazer v'izvad alem, alav ha'kasav omer, kikelo shav al kiyok, sil shone v'ivalto. And the first opinion, the Tanakhama's opinion is, don't do vidu again, especially if you went the entire year not having violated that particular chait again, meaning the tshuva that you did on Yom Kippur number one was efficacious tshuva, it actually worked, you actually repented, so then there's no need on that next Yom Kippur to mention it again. In fact, Tanakhama says, it's no different than a dog vomiting and backing up right into his vomit. Well, so why would you say vidui again? That is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amer, Kol Shekein Shu Meshubach. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov does a total 180. No. Do tshuva Yom Kippur number one, and even if you're rehabbed, do tshuva Yom Kippur number two as well. And not only is it not bad, Meshubach, it's good. And a constant reminder of your sin. Meaning, I don't know how to say this. Meaning, it could be part of the rehab process, could be part of the tshuva process. Maybe it'll just remind you not to do it again. Okay, however one understand it, but it's beneficial, recommended. Elamani mekayim kikel shavakiyahu. So the Gemara says, so what do we do about the dog and the vomit analogy? So no, the Kelevakio is talking about the person who does a sin once, does it twice, and you know what? It's mutta the third time. To which the Gemara reacts, it's mutta the third time? What are you talking about? No, perceptional. No, in actuality, it's still usher. Of course it's still usher. But we become desensitized. Once you do a chait and you repeat it and you do it again and again, so human nature, we justify, we rationalize, and what ends up happening is we don't even think it's a chait anymore. That's the kel of shavash akio. Meaning, you, normally, generally speaking, when you see vomit, you don't walk into the vomit. You walk away from the vomit because you realize it's disgusting. But once you do it again and again, you become desensitized to the vomit. That's the vomit analogy. So, tzarech lifrot et hachet. Okay. So, the first basic issue, really basic issue is, do I need to repeat my sin in the next Yom Kippur if I didn't stumble on that sin again? That's a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Hedi, just for edification purposes, the Rambam goes like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Fine. That's issue number one. Issue number two, another very big issue, do you need to articulate during the vidui that which you did wrong? Divrei Rav Yehuda ben Bava. So Rav Yehuda ben Bava says you need to articulate your sin. Makes sense. In other words, you want to rehab. You want to repent. You want to stop doing the sin. You want to do vidui. You want to confess that which you did wrong. So articulate exactly what you did wrong. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda ben Bava. And not only is that the opinion of Rav Yehuda ben Bava, it's supported in the Chumash. Meaning when Moshe is asking and doing vidui on behalf of the Jewish people for Kadosh Baruch Hu, he actually articulates, oh, and they made a God. Lowercase g. Right? So it's a grounded position in Chumash. Rabbi Akiva, Amir Ashrei Nasu Yipesha Kasu Yichata'ah. So Rabbi Akiva says, no, don't articulate. Meaning, you know what you did wrong. You're obviously doing tshuva from that which you did wrong. But in terms of articulation, don't actually mention it. And the Gemara goes back to the Pasuk in Eov, covered up. Okay. I'm sorry, Tehillim. Back to the Pasuk in Tehillim. Cover it up. So, Alamah Shomer Moshe V'yasu Lahem Elohei Zahav. Okay, but what about Moshe Rabbeinu? What about his articulation? So the Gemara says, No kid Rav Yana, Dam Rav Yana, Amar Moshe Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Kesef HaZahav, Shehirbeiti Lahem Leyisrael, Asher Mudai, Garalem Shiyasu Elohei Zahav. So the Gemara says, no, Moshe was not articulating the sin as a form of vidui. He was basically trying to provide a defense for the Jewish people. He was like the attorney defending, and he was just simply saying, look, you got to give the Jewish people a pass because they had so much gold and they had so much silver, and that's what caused them to make the Masecha. He wasn't saying that as a form of vidui, he was saying that as a form of defending the Jewish people. Shnei Parnasim Tovim Amdul and Yisrael. Well, the Gemara is now going to contrast the two leaders of the Jewish people, Moshe and Moshe V'David. And the two leaders of Moshe Dovin, we're going to contrast them in terms of how they relate to their own sins. Moshe Amar Yikatev Surchani. So Moshe says, do me a favor. What I did wrong, write it down. I want people to know. Shnei Amar Yan Lo Emantim Bilaki Sheni. Dovin Amar Al Yikatev Surchani. And Dovin would have preferred it not being written down. Now it's hard to say it's not being written down. It wasn't written down because we know about it. So, but in other words, but his preference would have been not to have been written down. And again, that tension, we just keep seeing that tension again and again. Should you publicize? Should you conceal? Okay. And once again, that tension now is the difference between Moshe and David. Now, let's give an analogy in terms of the two different approaches to their own sins. Two women who were being given Malkus and Beis Din. Now, one did a serious offense. One was Mekalkel. Now, she was Mizana. It's interesting because a woman who's mezana is not subject to lashes. It's a capital crime. It's a capital offense. Why is she getting malchus? Okay, I'm a little stuck at that point, but fine. In other words, but the point of the general point of the mashal is that she did a serious offense. And the other one, achle pagei shvius, she aged fruits during the shmita year that she shouldn't be eating. They're not fully ripened, and they're not really edible, and she eats them. And we know with peres shvius, any fruit that grows during the shmita year, lo achla v'lo lehefsid. The mitzvah is to eat it. And here, because it wasn't ripe, it wasn't edible, so she shouldn't have eaten it. So she, the second woman, violated a mitzvah saseh. The contrast is stark. One did a very serious offense. One did a relatively minor, milder offense. So the request of the woman who committed the milder offenses, could you please tell everybody what I did wrong? Because I don't want to be compared to her. Right? She did something terrible, and I'm next in line, and I'm getting malchus, and no one's going to be able to differentiate between the two of us. So could you please tell everybody what I did wrong? So okay. Now, the simple pshat of the Gemara is, okay, if I just to prevent the, present the Gemara in its simplicity, is that, in other words, the Gemara doesn't finish the sentence, but that's the same between David and Moshe. Meaning, Moshe said, I wasn't Mekash the Jewish people in the Midbar, I hit the rock, I didn't speak to the rock, and David did something more egregious. So the simple pshat in the Gemara is, Moshe is saying, please write down what I did wrong, so I'm not put in the same camp as David HaMelech. That's difficult. In other words, the Gemara here speak, if that's the correct pshat, and that is a simple pshat, but then the Gemara is speaking extraordinarily critically of David HaMelech, and the Gemara in a number of other occasions, we saw it in Shabbos together, we don't have any right to speak so critically about David HaMelech. You look at Rashi, to be fair, in this discussion, Rashi says the Nimshal is not between, and the Gemara is not contrasting Moshe versus David, the Gemara is contrasting Moshe and the remainder of his generation, the others of his generation. That's the contrast of the Gemara. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi of Achaz Kilkala. Okay. Back to the Gemara. Mefarsamim es hachanafim. You see a mechanif. First of all, what is a mechanif? Basically, hypocrites. Rashi writes, I'll read the Rashi. Hein rishain umarin atzmam kitzadikim. They're rishain, but they appear that they give off the appearance like they're tzadikim. Im yesh makir b'maasav mitzvah lefarsam. I mean, the Gemara is going to make this point, but I'm just reading Rashi. I'll just continue reading Rashi. Im yesh makir b'maasav mitzvah lefarsamo. It's a mitzvah to tell others that he is a hypocrite. Why? So the Gemara doesn't say, let's take a look at Rashi. I'm just continuing in Rashi. Mimnei chila Hashem. Because this person is going to provide a chila Hashem. And as we already discussed on the Amud Aleph of yesterday's daf, nothing can be worse than chila Hashem. Shemnei Adam lamedi b'masav shesvurim alav shu tzadik. Because people will think, oh, he's a tzadik, and I guess that behavior is okay. Because he's doing it and he's a tzadik. So no, let people know he's not a tzaddik, and that's not the right behavior. And so basically, we don't want people to model, and that, says Rashi, is one reason why mitzvah lefarsamo. Rashi does give another suggestion. And when he hits on bad times, so people are going to say, I don't understand, he's a tzaddik, why is he hitting on bad times? So, and people will question the schar v'onesh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, mitzvah lefarsamo, so you tell other people, he's not what you think he is. Okay? Mefarsam es lechanafim neichel Hashem, shenemar v'shuv tzadik mitzidko v'asa avav v'nasati mechshol lefanav tshuvas hamuchlatim ma'akev. I just ran right through that. V'nasati mechshol lefanav. Okay. So you have to reveal to others. Tshuvas hamuchlatim ma'akev v'saparanias. Those who are Rishaim Gemurim, just total Rishaim, So our ma'ake pranios. V'afa pishenechtam alav gzardin shal pranios. She shalos reshaim sofa tekala v'reshus. I'm sorry. Shalvas reshaim sofa tekala. The piece of reshaim will end up being a tekal. We'll explain what that means in a moment. V'harishus mekaberes es ba'alah arum. Mekaberes es ba'alah. And taking an authority position will bury the person who has taken the authority position. Arum nechnas la v'arum yatsa mimenu. He goes in literally naked. He leaves literally naked. And that should be the worst of it. It's not the worst of it. Okay. So so first of all, just a couple of explanations over here. Let's just go back for just a moment. Okay. The first statement was Chuvas Muchlatim Akevas Apronios. Those people who Muchlatim Rashaim Gamurim so are going to hold back but if they do tshuva, it'll hold back the peronius, meaning the suffering won't come. Okay, and even if there's a gzar din, meaning tshuva is that powerful. Or even if you have a rasha gemura, but he does tshuva, okay, it'll hold back peronius. Fine. If you have a rasha who is enjoying tranquil times, that's the worst. Rashi explains why is that the worst, because it'll give him time to think about more bad things to do. Okay? And then we get to the statement of the authority. Assuming authority upon yourself is a terrible thing, says the Gemara. You walk in naked, you leave naked, and that should be the worst. The Gemara goes on to explain through a couple of statements of Amorai. Rav, ki hava nafik lemeidan dina. So Rav goes and serves as a judge on court. Okay? And Rav was a leader of a community. So he has to adjudicate. So he serves as the head of a beis din. So he basically says, look, it's a mitzvah, I'm doing the right thing, but man, is this a no-win situation. Amar hachi, b'tzavo nafshi l'ktala, nafik, b'tzavo b'se leisu avid. So I'm going to suffer for the onesh. What onesh? Meaning what bad thing is he doing wrong? You take a look at the Rashi on the top of the next Amud, it very well could be that he's going to come up with a incorrect din. So, meaning my two choices are, I could either pass him correctly, or I won't pass him correctly, and then I have what to answer for. V'reken lebeisa azal, and I go home empty-handed. What does that mean? So Rashi on the top of the next Talmud, because you don't get paid to be a beis din, to be a member of beis din, so it's totally profitless. So you go to work, you spend the whole day away from the house, and what do you come home with? No money. Okay. Ulavai shite bia ki yitzia. And right, in other words, so that's the intent of you walk in naked, you walk out naked. Meaning, there's nothing to gain. Okay, now understood, in the context of, you're the leader of a community, this is what you have to do, but it's thankless. Rava ki avanafak ledina amar hachi. Rava would say something very similar when he went to Beis Din, top of Pei Zayin Amar Aleph. V'tzava nashulik tala nafik v'tzava besa leisu avid v'reken lebesa azul levashte bia kiyitzia same as Rav v'chiyav v'chazu ambua basrei. Now when he Rava would see the people following home, Rava was a leader of a generation, and he would always be escorted by people. So Amar imalal l'shamayim siu v'rosho la'av yagia kiglalo l'netzach yoved ro'av yomru ayo. Right, I'm like dung. Rashi says that he was debasing himself because he didn't want himself to become arrogant. Rav Zutra ki ava mechad fele b'shabasa deregila. Mar Zutra was carried in on his shoulders, right, like he was paraded in. Anyantiv hu amar ki l'olam chasem v'yimnezel l'dor v'dor. I'm gonna be lost. There's no king for future generations. This is very temporary. Says Panaresha Lotov, Lotov Lam Lurisham Shinosim Lam, Panim Baolamaze, Lotov Lola Achav, Shinasu Lopanim Baolamaze. It wasn't good that there was any type of favor that was shown towards Achav. Shenamra Yanki Nechna Loavia Rabi Amav. La Tot Sadik Mishva Tov Lam Sadikim Shinosim Lam, Panim Baolamaze, Tov Lamosha Shalonasu Lopanim Baolamaze. It was good that Moshe was shown no favor in this world. Because had he been shown favor, so he wouldn't have departed the world, he still would have lived, and it was time for him to go and spend time in Olam Haba. Okay, we'll finish up with this point. Tzaddikim provided zchus for them and for the future generations. Truth of the matter is, says the Gemara, Nadav and Avihu were the only sons of Aaron that should have died. Others should have died as well. I mean, he only has two others, I know, but they should have. Shenemra ha-nosarim, because how does the Torah relate to them? As the nosarim. Now, what's a nosar?
Leftover.
They're leftover of what was left, meaning they are basically, Allah's and Itamar are basically Nadav and Avihu. The nosar. But, Elishama lahem zchus avihim.
Morning. 10th grade girls will be going into 203, 204, 205.
Just
9th grade girls will be in 203.
Just put your hand on. No, just put your hand on.
211, 212, and Rabbi
Sugarman's
minion in
okay. Elisha Amalem Zechus Aviam, Oilam Lisham, Lodim Shemechaim, Matsma, Shemechaim, Levnaim, Levnaim, Matsav Kaladaros. And the Rishayim, just the opposite. Harbi Banim Ayulal Kanan. Canaan had a lot of sons who had zechuyos and were good. And the most prominent one the Gemara here mentions is Tevi, the Eved of Rabban Gamliel, who the Gemara speaks in the highest regard. But they carry the chova of Canaan, their patriarch. Okay. Stop over here. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Tomorrow we speak more about the importance and significance of tshuva. I want to remind everyone.